Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Just to clarify, because they were not in chronological order. And so it's maybe confusing to some of you. The first one being a parable that the Lord spoke to his disciples, and the second one being the account of Christ being presented in the temple as a 40-day-old babe. And the simple reason for that is that today we have two commemorations in the church, both of which get their own gospel readings. One is that it's the leave-taking of the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple, which was what we celebrated last Sunday. Many of you couldn't make it because the weather was bad. It was snowing during liturgy, I remember. But the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple was celebrated last Sunday, and all the great feasts, I should say most of the great feasts of the Lord, of which that is one of them, have an 8-day festival period. And so on the 8th day after the feast day, then we take leave of the feast, which means we celebrate the service all over again. So today we're doing that. You hear a lot of the hymns of the meeting of the Lord in the temple, and we also read the gospel reading for that particular feast day as well. So it's good for us to remember that and to understand that there's a logic to these things. Everything that's done in the church has a reason. And if we're confused, it's because we don't understand the reason. That's not because the church got it wrong. But I wanted to say that and clarify because, again, we read two readings and they were not in chronological order. I can't address both of them when we talked about the meeting of the Lord last Sunday. Today, it's very necessary that we talk about the publican and the Pharisee. This parable that the Lord spoke. And we know that the Lord often spoke in parables to reveal the kingdom of God in a mysterious way. In other words, to reveal it to those who desired to understand. Because oftentimes he spoke things concerning the kingdom of God and people didn't understand. But the disciples would come to him later and they would say, "Lord, what does this mean?" And it was at that point that he would say, "For you it is given to understand." And why is that? It's because the apostles went and asked. They sought understanding. And this is why the Lord spoke oftentimes in parables. Because it was to provoke a desire for understanding on our part, on the part of his apostles, on the part of his hearers, on the part of us, so that we would exercise ourselves, so that we would exert ourselves and strive to come to a greater understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's summed up elsewhere in the gospel. The Lord says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And so this is the kind of violence that we have to exert on ourselves to strive to understand, to work, to grasp the deeper mystery of the Scriptures. And so this particular parable the Lord speaks, on the surface, seems fairly straightforward. But I suggest to you that it seems straightforward to us because we've lived through 2,000 years of Christian history. The hearers at the time, hearing the Lord speak this parable, to them it probably was not so straightforward. The parable is simply this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a publican. The two men went up to the temple, and they went up for a reason. They went there for a purpose, to pray. This was their goal. This is what they hoped to achieve, right? They set out on a journey, they got up, they prepared themselves, they left their house, they walked through the dusty streets, they arrived at the temple, because they had a goal in mind. They had a purpose. St. Gregory Palamas, in his commentary on this parable, says, "How many of us go up to the temple to pray? And how many of us go up for another reason?" And you get kind of an idea about what he's dealing with in 14th century Thessalonica. But he says, some of you come here to talk to each other. Some of you come here to meet each other and conduct business. I hope that we're not as bad as that. But nevertheless, many times we come here with a different purpose in mind. Or at the very least, we come having forgotten what our purpose is. But the Lord speaks about these two, and he says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and one was a publican. And of these two, in terms of social standing in the community, the Lord has chosen diametric opposites. You couldn't get more distinct from these two. You couldn't get more different. The Pharisee was one who was considered to be righteous by everyone in the community. Everyone considered the Pharisees to be righteous. They kept themselves separate. They strictly observed the law. The things that he says to justify himself are not lies. He fasts twice in a week. He gives a tithe of everything that he possesses. This is his righteousness. And everybody saw that. And everybody observed that. And everybody held the Pharisees in very high respect. Very high esteem. And the other one is a publican. And the publicans were the ones whom everybody hated. They were, I read from the Synaxarion last night at Vespers, the Synaxarion called them tax farmers. Their crop was their own people. They were Jewish people who were enlisted to assist with raising taxes by the oppressing Roman authority. So they were already working for the oppressors. But the way they made their living was by raising more taxes than they were required to. In other words, the Romans would say, this is your district. Your district owes this much in taxes. You raise that much and you owe that to Caesar. So they would go to their district and they would raise more. And then they would give to Caesar what was Caesar's, and they would keep the rest for themselves. You see, they're a despicable kind of people. And this is why the Lord chooses this particular publican. Remember, the Apostle Matthew was a publican. Remember Zacchaeus, we read about him last week. He was a publican. He was great among the publicans. He was very rich. What does that mean? It means that he was good at extortion from his own people. And so, the Pharisee, the one who is evidently righteous, goes up to the temple to pray. And also, the publican has the audacity to go up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood. And it says, very interestingly, St. Luke tells us, the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. So who is he praying to? Is he praying to God or is he praying to himself? The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. God, I thank thee. This is one of the reasons that we pray, right? This is one of the reasons that we come to church, to give thanks to God. But he doesn't stop there. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. This is where he goes wrong. Because his gratitude towards God is deformed. It is perverted into judgment of others. I thank thee that I am not like other men. And then he lists off all the kind of people that he can look down on, which are, perhaps, justifiably, people that we should not respect. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as, and here he gets really bad, because he picks out one in particular whom he does not know. Even like this publican, who stands here in the temple. So his gratitude towards God is distorted, because he doesn't stop at gratitude, but he rather chooses to cast judgment in his prayer down on other people. And then he goes on to justify himself. He goes on to list off his virtues. I fast twice in the week. That sound familiar? Anybody here fast twice in the week? Mm-hmm. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Does that sound familiar? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he beat his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, who am a sinner. And the Lord tells us this man is home justified, rather than the Pharisee. Because the one who exalts himself will be abased, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. The church places this reading on this day because it's 3 weeks before Great Lent begins. It's the period that we call in the church the Triolium, the 3 weeks prior to the beginning of the Great Fast. And this passage for us is given to us to shake us up, for one, because in many ways, we resemble the Pharisee more than we resemble the publican. But to stir us up to reorder our lives during Great Lent. What was the real fundamental error of the Pharisee? Was he wrong? I mean, he judged everyone around him. But the things that he said, he fasts twice in a week, he gives tithes of all that he possesses, these are not wrong things to do. But what he was wrong about was that he had confused the means with the end. And I suspect that oftentimes we do that in the church as well. Confuse the means with the end. He even went up to the temple for the proper purpose. He went up to pray. That was his goal. But he deviated from that goal. Why? Because he didn't pray properly. How is it that he confused the means for the end? Well, he understood, or he thought, his understanding was that his twice a week fasting and his giving of tithes was what made him virtuous. But those things don't make us virtuous. Those things help us. They humble us. They open our hearts to the grace of the Spirit of God. But they don't make us righteous. Many of you have probably read about St. Seraphim of Sarov. St. Seraphim of Sarov had a famous conversation with a man named Nikolai Moltovilov. I think his first name is Nikolai. Moltovilov was his last name. And St. Seraphim spoke with Mr. Moltovilov at great length concerning the kingdom of God. And he says just this, exact same thing. He asks this man, what's the goal of the Christian life? And of course, when you're speaking with St. Seraphim, you don't give an answer to that question. Because you know it's a leading question. And St. Seraphim answers his own question. He says, many people think that the goal of the Christian life is fastings and vigils and almsgiving. But he says that's not the goal. He goes on to say, those are an indispensable means for achieving the goal. But they are not the goal. The goal of the Christian life is to acquire the grace of the Holy Spirit. And this is where the Pharisee deviated. He didn't go for the goal. He went for the means. He went for the fasting. He went for the tithing. He went for the appearing in the temple. He went for the opinion of men that he was a righteous one. But all of that, if it doesn't achieve the goal, it doesn't achieve anything. And likewise for you and for me, as we prepare to enter the season of Great Lent, it's not an exhortation to stop fasting and stop tithing because we're getting ready to go into Great Lent. We're going to fast more than twice in a week during Great Lent. But it's an exhortation to us to remember the goal. To remember what our purpose is. The purpose isn't to fast twice in a week. The purpose is to acquire the grace of the Spirit of God. This is our goal. And the reason that it's kind of interesting because the Pharisee comes in and he boasts, I fast twice in the week. What does the church say to us? The week after that day, don't fast at all. Not even on Wednesday and Friday do we fast in the week after the publican and the Pharisee. Why? Because the Pharisee was not justified by his fast. But the publican was justified by his humility. And that is the lesson for you and for me today. Our fasting is not the goal. Fasting is given to us so that we will become humble. Tithing is a discipline that is given to us so that we will become humble, so that we will learn that we rely on God. Almsgiving is given to us so that we will become humble and realize that we are co-workers with God. All of the disciplines in the church are given to us so that we will become humble like the publican. And because in becoming humble, we become fitting, proper dwelling places for the Holy Spirit of God, who desires to come and to dwell in us. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages.
Amen.